The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Announcements. Remember, announcements are spiritual. Remember that? I want to encourage you, pick up your copy of The Well. Rachel Hordian does just an awesome job on this, a great job. In fact, I think there's a section in the back for kids, and there's a contest, right? There is a contest in the back, and how old do you got? Am I young enough to? I can't draw anything. But please, they're out on the information desk in the back, and this is a bi-monthly publication of Living Waters. Just a lot of good stuff in there, so I want to encourage you to pick that up. Higher Call. Who was here for Higher Call last Sunday night? How many got rocked? Yeah. I mean, I love and I preach a grace message, but this was like grace on steroids. It was, I came away, and it snuck up on me. I mean, he was just talking along like any daddy had talked to his kids, and I thought, they're just kind of warming us up. And next thing I knew, I was just whacked. I was just like encountered by grace. When we talk about a fivefold ministry teacher, a teacher who imparts something to the heart. I saw a master last Sunday night teaching in a way that it got to hearts. And he was able to sense when it wasn't quite getting to the heart. And so then he just stepped back a little bit and let Holy Spirit have some space and some room. Can I just encourage you, make these Sunday nights a priority. These meetings will change your lives. They'll change the life of this church. I'm serious, man. You agree. You agree. And, it's just good. So, Higher Call, John and Jackie Matthews, and they just really have a revelation on the blood covenant. Everything that we've been going after this morning has already been accomplished. It's a done deal. It's not like we're pursuing something that hasn't been completed. We're just taking ownership. Thank you for all of you. All of you that were here yesterday and cleaned and scrubbed and vacuumed. And would you stand up, please? Everybody, come on. Don't be shy. Come on. Just bless them. Give them a hand. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. We so appreciate it. You guys are amazing. One of the things we're going to shift just a little bit, just to give you a heads up that we're going to be receiving offering just a little bit differently. I feel like generosity and giving into the kingdom is so much more than just pulling something out of your wallet and making it happen. I believe that there is a posture that we can take in faith. You know, we're entering into some radical times in the world. Just stuff that doesn't make sense. And it's going to take a people who have a grip, that have an understanding of kingdom economics and the way the kingdom works, that's going to bring us through the next season. So what I'm doing over the next handful of weeks, I'm not sure what it's going to look like yet, but I'm going to ask people who can teach on kingdom economics and giving and the blessing of generosity and just all those things. There are people that have walked in this, people that know how to articulate it. And I'm just believing that me, first and foremost, I am going to receive some revelation on what it's like to walk under kingdom financial blessing, kingdom economics. You know, it's not an option anymore. The days that we're living in, it's a necessity to get a hold of what's in the kingdom and to understand kingdom dynamics. I don't know about you guys, but this world is just proving to me very, very clearly in the last handful of years that there's a better way and that we're called to a better way. So Bob is going to receive the offering today. Let's just welcome Bob as he comes.
Thank you. Well, welcome. Good to see you all. If you get nervous when people start talking about giving an offering, I just encourage you to just relax. If you get nervous when people talk about giving an offering, it's because you've never heard the gospel as it relates to giving, and you've sat under a teaching that is manipulative and controlling. If you're here this morning as a guest, we're going to talk a little bit about family business, but that's okay that you're here, but you'd feel under no pressure, compulsion. We believe in freedom, and freedom is two-sided, by the way. See, people were free to come up and dance, but people are also free not to. See, that's freedom. Very often we say we have freedom, but we don't, because it's got expectation attached with it that you will look just like me. And only my son looks like me. So we're going to read just a little bit this morning from the scripture. And just a couple of verses. One of the best places in all of New Testament scripture to really get a good picture of giving is Paul's exhortation in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, where he is preparing the people for the coming of those who would receive a gift of funds. And in chapter 9, verse 6, 2 Corinthians, Paul writes this: "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Everybody say, God loves a cheerful giver. Now, I want to suggest to you that that doesn't mean that I got to force myself to get cheerful when I give. That isn't what that means. It means there is birthed within us, if we'll allow it to, a spirit of generosity, so that, see, some people tense up when it's time to give, others free up when it's time to give. Some people have great regret when they have to give. Some people have a bit of regret when they can't give as much as they'd like to. See, there's a difference between the spirit of poverty and the spirit of generosity, and the main difference is this area of giving. And Paul likens it, as does it in other places. This is not the only place, but he likes it to the planting of seed. Now, no farmer plants seed without an expectation of a harvest. And sometimes we have this really humble, holy mentality that it is wrong for me to give to God and expect anything in return. Can I just say that is not scriptural? See, those who, in order to please God, we must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It's okay to expect God. Now, how the harvest comes, how the increase comes, is always up to Him. So I'm not saying this morning, if you put $10 in the offering plate, you can expect $100. I'm telling you, if you put $10 in the offering plate this morning, you can expect God to be true to His word and to bring a reward to you in some form, sometime, some shape. Guaranteed. In fact, in the Old Testament, Malachi, God says to the children of Israel, "Test me in this. Try me. Test me." So we need to know that there is a link between that which we give and that which we receive. In fact, if we read down a little bit, it says that He gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Both seed and bread are seed. You use some of your seed to sow. You use some of your seed to make bread to eat. But it comes from Him. But we must, and here's what I want us to understand this morning. We must give, not out of compulsion and not out of need, but out of generosity and out of obedience. So if you feel like you're having your arm twisted this morning, I would suggest that you just don't give. Now, the reality is that we are about $12,000 behind in our checkbook, and we have internal ways of compensating for that. So don't worry, you won't come to church next week, and the doors will not be locked. And bank notice? No. But the reality is we're behind. By the way, we just had a ministerial meeting. We hosted it here a few weeks ago with other churches. And we are, as a church locally, are not alone in this at all. In fact, they were caught talking about making some cuts in staff and all that. We, I just want to say to you, by the grace of God, have not had to do that. In fact, over these few years, have increased. And it's because of generosity. So I want to encourage us this morning as we give, to give as God directs. I know $12,000 sounds like a lot, and it is for me or for you, but it's not for us. We are a community of people. We are a family of God. We have, from time to time, run into these little things in the past and made them up very quickly. But I do want to encourage you to get into a pattern of giving regularly. One of the questions that often gets asked is, do we believe in tithing? No, we believe in generosity. We believe in giving. We believe in giving consistently, and one way to do that is to set a percentage that I will give no matter whether God increases or decreases, you know, no matter what happens, I will consistently give that percentage. 10% is a good number, but it's not the only number. Marcy and I found over the years that we've been able to bump that up a little bit, times and seasons. So it's not, see, I believe God is much more concerned not about what we give, but he's much more concerned about what we do with what we keep. And so we just need to give and give obediently. So if I want us to understand this principle of sowing. Sow something. When you send your kids to Sunday school class, help them understand. Just give them. It isn't about the amount, but give them something. Begin to get into their understanding the principle of sowing. And I want to encourage you, even as this offering is taken this morning, I want to encourage every person in this room to put something in it. It isn't about the amount. It's about the sowing. It's about planting seed. Now, is there anyone here this morning who came and is not prepared to give? I mean, doesn't have. Any youth? Anybody? I have some extra one. Come on. Anybody else? Okay, this is yours. Now you're free to do with it as you like. Anyone else? I'm serious. Maybe you didn't come prepared. Any youth? Any kids? You don't have any money to give today. Come on, get in on this. This is sowing. Come on up. Come and get it. Anyone. And these are just $1 bills. If we get toward the bottom of my wallet, then you might hear me. Here we go. See, this is important. Why is this? Dude, come on up. Oh, no. We're not out. All right.
Well, I said, you're not prepared at all. I said, you're right.
Okay, you are now, and that's yours, and you are free to do with it as you want. See, we need to understand that. That is part of freedom. Giving is not about law. It's about freedom. It's about liberty. And when we begin to understand that, then sometimes we get frustrated in giving because we're not free to give as much as we'd like to. Have you ever seen a need and said, oh, I so want to meet that, but I know I can't? Anyone else? Get in on this. Even if you have to, if you're not comfortable coming up and getting it from me, borrow it from the person next to you. But get in on this. I'm serious. They'll give it to you. So let's ask the ushers to come. Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege that you give us to give. And we thank you this morning for the privilege you give us not to give. But Father, we understand the generosity of your heart by the giving of your Son, and we see very plainly that you so loved the world that you gave. And so, Father, we want to enter into our Father's ways, even as we said. We want to adopt our Father's ways this morning and become a people of generosity. Not forced generosity, but cheerful generosity. So we just thank you for the privilege of giving this morning, Father, and we believe for with an expectation that we are going to be able to give more in the future because of our giving in the present. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Bless you as you give.
Yes, you can. Sure.
I hate doing this, but I hate disobeying more. We went through a time, I don't know, 7 years ago, where my husband lost his job, and there was 3.5 months we were not employed. And I remember calling another sister from the body here that I knew they had gone without employment for a while and said, how do we do this? I still want to tithe, although we don't tithe. I said, I still want to tithe, but we were not even going to have money to make the house payment or enough food. And she said to me, well, if you're not going to have enough, you're not going to have enough no matter what. At least you'll run out obeying the Lord. So, you know her, Mary Hedlund. And I said, okay, then that's what we'll do. So we continued tithing on our smaller amount, made it through the 3 months, actually felt at times we had more money in our account during that than when we were working because God showed us so many tools, and we came through it still obeying the Lord. So.
Yay. You know, I'm not going to ask you to come up, but how many have a similar testimony? Look around. I want to, encourage in our times together to start to give some testimony of God's faithfulness. We need encouragement in these days. You guys don't need encouragement. I need encouragement during these days. Yeah. Come on. Oh, goodness. 15 minutes? Boy, that's a joke. Oh, Jesus. Well, that I just got to do something else here. You got a current testimony? Come on up. Go ahead. Jesus. Did I shut it off? Here, you want to talk close?
The door was open.
Well, I'm going to have to explain that one.
I'll tell everybody right now, I love Dave and Dave loves me, so.
And I love my wife too.
But. Yes. We know each other well enough to where I knew he would be okay. But anyways. When God puts a challenge of finances out front of you, first and foremost, I tell you, check your heart to make sure that you're not doing it for the wrong reason, as Bob spoke. In the past 3 months, my checkbook has multiplied to overabundance, and I can't outgive him right now for one simple reason. I'm willing, and I'm open to hear what he's saying. Now, it comes from experience, because I have always been gifted to give. I'll tell you that right up front. But just a situation has come into light just in the last week and a half where I have come across a lady who's homeless with 3 children. And the Lord has spoke clearly. Now, I have sown a fair amount of money into the situation. I'm asking God. He's wise, asking me to be wise in the stewardship, to not enable, but to bless. And here's what happened. What I have given in the last 2 weeks has been multiplied 4 times over what I have given. And the interesting thing is, And the good thing is, it's beyond my ability to claim that I can tell you that I'm that good, or I'm that sharp, or that he put that it works like that. I was dealing with a situation where a group wanted to purchase something, and I responded to it, and the Lord said, and they will buy it. And I got four no's this week. And I'm like, but Lord, you told me that they're going to buy it, but they've told me no four times. And so I listened to what he said, and he said, but they don't understand what you have, and they don't understand their own need. So I emailed him back, and this is what I simply said. I know I have what you need. I just am not explaining it properly. So I got an email back, said I want to meet you at 8:30 on Friday morning. So he comes up, and it's an office complex, and I do some office stuff. And when he came up and he told me his need, then I was able to show him that I have what you need, and then they said, we'll take it. But there were four no's. I could have quit at any of those four no's. So we need to know when God is speaking to us to do, he's okay with saying, you know what? I need a second confirmation on this. Would you say? He will do that. He's not this mystical God way out where he's our daddy to where, and even we can say, you know what, I can't hear right now. Or, you know, we can be so honest because we are in a time and age to where the finances that it's going to take to do all this is in the millions, in the billions. And I guarantee you, we don't have that capability. But if you ask people on the prophetic words that have come forth to the dollars it will take to do what this church is going to do, it's way beyond our ability. And the thing is start small and trusting what he's telling you to do. Because I would doubt that there's any one person here that if you got a check for $10 million, that you would be in the place right now to steward it well. But I bet he knows exactly what you can handle to steward well, and that's what he's putting in your hands right now. Trust in a little and step up, and then we will see the fruit that he has promised us. So trust him. Faith is the best place you can walk in, because that's trusting him and not trusting our own abilities, because we will fail ourselves and I will fail you, I guarantee. But our Father will not if we're obedient to listen and take the chance. And I encourage anybody who has not responded to what God has asked you to do, it's this simple. Father, forgive me when I even thought that you were speaking to me to sow into something. Forgive me for that and wipe my slate clean, because he'll wipe our slate clean and let, as we heard this morning, and let go of the past and take you from where you are now and go forward. But I encourage you, if you have those situations, to get rid of those, because that will be the haunter. Well, remember last time when you didn't follow through? Yada, yada, you know, the garbage. So wipe the slate clean.
Good. Thank you, Casey. Judith, come on up. Yeah, let's do this. Go for it.
Sure.
Brian and Renee, would you stand up?
Hold it. Yeah, we got to hear it.
Would you stand up? As I told Pastor, I have a word for you. Normally, I would give it privately, but he's impressing me that it needs to be said publicly. He is desiring to prosper you far beyond what you can imagine. Hold out your hands and expect him to fill them to overflowing, because you have a heart to do with it what he wants you to accomplish. So receive the anointing he has for prosperity in your lives. I release that in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Yeah. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Release. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, stretch your hands out to Brian and Renee. There's a demonstration here. Did you see where the groaning turned to laughter? Did you see where the groaning turned to laughter? This is the season that we're in. This is the time that we're in where things are coming a lot easier. The stuff that we thought we had to work for, the stuff that we thought it was about putting our shoulders to the plow, the stuff that we thought that we had to work and toil for, there is a day coming where it is just sit back and receive. How many want to receive grace like that? How many of you have been striving for grace? How many have been striving to please the King when all he's saying is just be a son, just be a daughter? Come on into my rest. Come on. Come on into the joy of the Lord. Garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. This is going to accomplish way more than could have been accomplished by all the groaning. And you know, there's a place for groaning, please. And you that are intercessors, you know what it's like to birth a baby. My wife knows what it's like to birth a baby. I don't. But I'll tell you what, the joy comes. The joy has got to come. If the joy of the Lord is your strength, then this is strength right here. Come on, how many of you have been in places where you've been groaning? There was a word preached here about a month ago that there is this divine exchange that is now taking place where he's giving you garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Come on. That was a good word, Bob. A world famous preacher preached that one right here in this house. I wish I could preach like Bob. Maybe if I just work a little bit harder. Oh, here I go. You got something? You sure you can do this? Okay. Yeah. Shura Mahaka. You need a microphone? Come on. Wait a minute.
Sorry about that.
Technical difficulties.
Test. Okay,
what he said about God doing the work. This week we had a call. It was Tuesday. No, whatever day Brian comes for guitar. For we were going to go roller skating with the kids. I had promised them, let's have a good day at school, let's go roller skating. It was Christian night to go roller skating. And so it was 4:30 and we were going to leave at 6. And we got a call for a showing for the house. And the kids are like, a showing. Usually you're excited when you get a showing. And we're like, no, we're going to roller skating. And I called the realtor back. Said, I don't want to clean my house. I'm tired of cleaning for showings. So he canceled the showing. And the realtor didn't get the message, the other realtor.
Does she need to finish the story?
The next day, my realtor called me in the morning and said, she hasn't responded to my calls. You might have somebody at your door in an hour. And I said, okay, I guess she'll see how we live. So she showed up and came to the door, and I right away said, we canceled the showing. I'm not interested in, it was a realtor coming to preview. I said, I'm not interested in showing it unless they're going to come see it. And we went roller skating. And she said, no, I'm just coming. You're getting an offer today. I'm just coming to look at the house. They've already seen your house. So anyway, over the weekend, we got a full price offer and a second offer at the same time, the same, all this weekend while we were out of town. And we didn't have to clean, and we got to go roller skating. And I know that was the Lord, because normally I would clean and try to do my part, and this time I said, I'm done. God, I give it fully to you. No.
How long has your house been on the market?
2.5 years.
2.5 years.
Have to do it anymore.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
don't have to clean your house anymore. There was a second piece to the prosperity thing after that, and that is based on Dan's word at prayer. I think it was 2 weeks ago about this being a base camp.
Yeah.
And that this would be a sending house.
Yeah.
And so just for the congregation to be aware that that word has come forth, that we're a base camp, and great from case. That base, people go out.
Yeah.
Everybody won't go. Some will send and some will pray. Yeah. But we need to get a hold of God's great desire to prosper us. We can't do what He wants to do through us if we just stay at a plateau. And He's more than able.
Yeah, that's good. We got time for one more. You guys okay? We might get out of here a little late.
I just have a proclamation that it goes along with last week, what you're talking about, when you talk about how we're sojourners. My wife and I go, that's us, you know. We started reading this book that Henry gave me called Supernatural Provision. And this is in the introductory. My wife didn't even read this part. She just started right at the book, and I had to go through the introductory. But so far, this has hit me the hardest. It says, yes, there is provision in the wilderness. There is provision in the wilderness.
Yeah,
God provided in the wilderness. He gave manna every day. Their shoes did not wear out. There's provision in the wilderness. But then there's the whole new land called the Promised Land, where you will live in houses that you did not build.
Yeah, come on.
Where you'll eat from vineyards that you did not plant. And you will reap harvests that you did not sow. You know how you get there? You just walk in. You just walk into it. I just want to proclaim that over us this morning.
Come on. Receive it. Receive it.
God, we're you're going to live in houses that you did not build.
Come on.
You're going to eat from vineyards you did not plant. And you're going to reap harvests that you didn't even sow. So we're talking about sowing, but there's greater. There's greater harvest that we're going to get without even sowing.
I don't know if we can go into this.
Just walk into it this morning.
The Lord is releasing an anointing for them to walk in a place of leadership. And I think he has something to release in them.
Yeah. Hang on. What did you do? I'm sorry. I received it. Okay.
We just stepped in.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm going to quit trying to work at pastoring, you know? You don't know how hard I worked on this message for today. Here's Henry. You can be seated for a minute.
That book that Ben mentioned, Supernatural Provision, was one that I didn't have to buy it. The author, Mark Hendrickson, who is one of the, he and his wife were the involved in the original families that helped plant IHOP, and we have our IHOP representative here. So I just thought I'd mention that I am getting a few more books, and Mark's going to connect with me tomorrow and send some for some of the elders. So if some other people wanted some books, he said he'd send as many as we want. And if we just pay the shipping charge. So if you want a free book and the church will pay the shipping charge. How many want a free book on supernatural provision? Yeah, that looks like a couple cases. So I'll ask him for those.
We'll arrange it.
And we'll take care of that, and we'll have those here probably in another, I don't know, maybe next Sunday or at least by the Sunday after. But if you want a free book on supernatural provision and see what God wants to do to bless us, just like the scripture that Ben was reading, where we don't plant, where we don't work for it, we don't do anything to earn it. We just get the blessing from our Father because he loves us. So get you some free books.
Yeah, that's good.